think the confusion arises in the religious mind because the anthropic principle is only ever mentioned in the context of the problem that it solves, namely the fact that we live in a life-friendly place. What the religious mind then fails to grasp is that two candidate solutions are offered to the problem. God is one, the anthropic principle is the other. They are alternatives. Liquid water is a necessary condition for life as we know it, but it is far from sufficient. Life still has to originate in the water, and the origin of life may have been a highly improbable occurrence. Darwinian evolution proceeds merrily once life has originated, but how does life get started? The origin of life was the chemical event or series of events whereby the vital conditions for natural selection first came about. The major ingredient was heredity, either DNA or, more probably, something that copies, like DNA, but less accurately, perhaps the related molecule RNA. Once the vital ingredient, some kind of genetic molecule, is in place, true Darwinian natural selection can follow, and complex life emerges as the eventual consequence. But the spontaneous arising by chance of the first hereditary molecule strikes many as improbable. Maybe it is very, very improbable, and I shall dwell on this, for it is central to this section of the book. The origin of life is a flourishing, if speculative, subject for research. The expertise required for it is chemistry, and it is not mine. I watch from the sidelines with engaged curiosity, and I shall not be surprised if, within the next few years, chemists report that they have successfully midwifed a new origin of life in the laboratory. Nevertheless, it hasn't happened yet, and it is still possible to maintain that the probability of its happening is, and always was, exceedingly low, although it did happen once.
Just as we did with the Goldilocks orbits, we can make the point that, however improbable the origin of life might be, we know it happened on Earth because we are here. Again, as with temperature, there are two hypotheses to explain what happened: the design hypothesis and the scientific or anthropic hypothesis. The design approach postulates a god who wrought a deliberate miracle, struck the prebiotic soup with divine fire, and launched DNA, or something equivalent, on its momentous career. Again, as with Goldilocks, the anthropic alternative to the design hypothesis is statistical. Scientists invoke the magic of large numbers. It has been estimated that there are between 1 billion and 30 billion planets in our galaxy, and about 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Knocking a few noughts off, for reasons of ordinary prudence, a billion billion is a conservative estimate of the number of available planets in the universe. Now, suppose the origin of life, the spontaneous arising of something equivalent to DNA, really was a quite staggeringly improbable event. Suppose it was so improbable as to occur on only one in a billion planets. A grant-giving body would laugh at any chemist who admitted that the chance of his proposed research succeeding was only 1 in 100, but here we are talking about odds of 1 in a billion. And yet, even with such absurdly long odds, life will still have arisen on a billion planets, of which Earth, of course, is one.
This conclusion is so surprising, I'll say it again. If the odds of life originating spontaneously on a planet were 1 billion to 1 against, nevertheless, that stupefyingly improbable event would still happen on 1 billion planets. The chance of finding any one of those billion life-bearing planets recalls the proverbial needle in a haystack. But we don't have to go out of our way to find a needle because, back to the anthropic principle, any beings capable of looking must necessarily be sitting on one of those prodigiously rare needles before they even start the search. Any probability statement is made in the context of a certain level of ignorance. If we know nothing about a planet, we may postulate the odds of life's arising on it as, say, 1 in a billion. But if we now import some new assumptions into our estimate, things change. A particular planet may have some peculiar properties, perhaps a special profile of element abundances in its rocks, which shift the odds in favour of life's emerging. Some planets, in other words, are more Earth-like than others. Earth itself, of course, is especially Earth-like. This should give encouragement to our chemists trying to recreate the events in the lab, for it could shorten the odds against their success. but my earlier calculation demonstrated that even a chemical model with odds of success as low as 1 in a billion would still predict that life would arise on 1 billion planets in the universe. And the beauty of the anthropic principle is that it tells us, against all intuition,